Dan Leonard in the East.
I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are
East West Audio Body Shop.
All right, I am almost literally out the door heading west, and George and I will be together this Monday night on East West Audio Body Shop, and we've got a great guest. Talk about broadcast quality. Our guest is a guy named Thomas Pinto. He's a promo guy for CBS and a narrator, and he's also a coach, and he teaches something called the Full Spectrum Method.
I'll have our third and final installment of NAMM Show Highlights. So this will be the last bits that I thought you guys might dig from the show, all about voiceover technology. And we're also going to take your questions, so send them in to ewebshop@gmail.com. And if you got news stories for us, send them in for the news segment.
So join us Monday night, 9 o'clock in the East.
And 6 o'clock in the West.
And join us in the chat room. I'll be there with George, and we'll see all of you there.
He is the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen. And the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop.
This is Rick Gill from Syracuse, New York. Episode 177 of East West Audio Body Shop is brought to you by Edge Studio, providers of voiceover education, production, and technology. Harlan Hogan's Voiceover Essentials, products hand-picked for voice actors. VoiceZam, a totally unreal demo player for voiceover professionals. The Home Studio Master, get a handle on your professional voiceover studio. And VoiceOver Extra, your one-stop resource for voiceover success.
And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Hi, I'm Dan Leonard, usually in the East.
And I'm George Whittam, pretty much always in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop.
Yay!
All right!
We're here.
We're in one place. I keep wanting to reach across the screen and grab you when I'm, you know, over in Buffalo, but there is now 2 feet of snow in my driveway.
Oh.
And darn, it's, what, 75 and just gorgeous here in Santa Monica, and I'm not there.
You know, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, my wife was like on Craigslist this morning looking for a plowing service. You know, we're calling the neighbors, can you plow our driveway? And so she goes on Craigslist looking for a plowing service and then realizes she's looking at Craigslist in Los Angeles.
Didn't find too many.
And like, why aren't there? Oh, I'm in Los Angeles Craigslist. That's,
what's a plow?
Yeah.
You want to plow a garden? I'm confused. What are you talking about? What kind of plow?
Well, anyway, we've got a great show tonight. As usual, we've got a great guest. Tom Pinto will be joining us at the bottom of the hour, and we're going to talk about broadcasting, narration, and the whole industry of, you know, the upper echelons of getting that stuff, your voice on a network, and, you know, what is the skills involved with that? And, of course, we'll take your questions on that. We've got, you know, we have some questions that people have sent in, which we will be more than happy to answer, and we can answer any question you have, even if it's about marital advice. You know, I've been married 20 years. I could probably dole out a couple of things. But things on personal studio, audio, or something about the voiceover business, ewabshop@gmail.com, and we will be more than happy to share your question and whatever answer we come up with the rest of our audience. There are a pile of people watching the show tonight, lots of you in the chat room. And, of course, if you have a question for our guest, you can always throw it in there. And Anthony Gettig, our fabulous
chat room moderator?
Monitor, I think. He's the chat room monitor.
Monitor, okay.
And he's got a billy club, and he will use it if you're unruly. And we'll get that question on. So we don't really have any news tonight, I guess.
Nope. No, nothing worth sharing, so we're not going to waste the time on it. We're going to go right into...
Well, we'll talk about what I've been up to here.
Well, yeah, let's talk about what you're up to. Then let's show some video
of their studio.
Of the new space.
Yeah.
Well, the way it is at the moment, which
yeah.
is...
But, yeah, and yeah. I'll lead this all off. I'm here on the West Coast because my son, Jacob, whose Mugman videos you've been watching at the end of the show, is applying to get into a really great program here in Sherman Oaks called Exceptional Minds, which is a 3D graphics and animation studio that trains people on autistic spectrum disorders how to do, you know, how to get certified in all the different 3D graphics and animation stuff that is done in Hollywood. And they are a working Hollywood studio. He went in for his interview and assessment this morning, and they came out and they said, you know, he's exceptional. And if you've watched Mugman at all, you know that, you know, the kind of time and effort that goes into what he does. And so we're really proud of him. He did a really good job this morning.
You know, seems like a brilliant idea, because isn't the one thing about being autistic is you have special skill sets that you are more suited to doing certain types of things like this.
Yeah.
So you may have a better time at learning it, and yeah. you'll probably be better at the career.
Yeah. And he'll have more opportunity out here in Hollywood than yeah. he will back in Buffalo, because otherwise he'd just be shoveling snow most of the time with his yeah. father. Like, get a shovel the driveway. Silence. Crickets coming from wherever I yell to him at. But there's a great story with this, because if you'll recall back in August, you and I were at Voice 2014 in Anaheim, and mm-hmm. Pat Fraley brought Ed Asner with him. And Ed Asner is like the main spokesman for Exceptional Minds out in public. And he's also like the head of Autism Speaks out here in Southern California. Yeah. And we interviewed him, and he was, you know, as cantankerous and grouchy as Ed Asner usually is, but he's a wonderful, wonderful human being. And I took him aside after we interviewed him. I said, hey, you know, my wife and I we're moving out to Southern California because we think that our son will have more opportunity out here, and we want to get him into Exceptional Minds. And he lit up, you know, just like, oh, okay, fine. And I gave him my card, and he says, I will call the executive director and talk to him. Well, this morning we're there for the interview, and I said, by the way, did Ed Asner? He says, I was about to tell you. Ed Asner called. I mean, he's my mentor, and I talk to him all the time. So he gave me a dressing down for about 20 minutes, which he apparently does with everybody. And then he mentioned...
A mini roast?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's Ed Asner. But he called him. And he said, you know, Dan Leonard, and, you know, they're moving here, and, you know, what can you do for the guy? It really didn't matter a whole lot in the long and short of it, because right. my son is very qualified to do it, and they right. really like what he does, and hopefully he'll get it in the program if they think he's ready for it. But he called.
That says a lot about his character, and it just when people remember you, and you're thinking, these guys are celebrities, their lives are so full of, there's so many people pulling at them at all from all directions.
Right.
Why would they remember me or my son?
That's right. But he did. So now yeah. I owe him a major league thank you note for that. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's like when Dee Snider remembered that I ran into him at the carousel at the pier a year and a half ago.
Right.
And when he moved to L.A., he called me, you know, remembered me a year later. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and when Jacob heard, he was, oh, that's the guy who played the old man on Up. He's like, oh, that guy.
He
had no
connection.
Idea who Ed Asner
yeah.
was, you know.
Sure.
Sort of, you know, before his time, except that, you know, he came back. But he's had a fascinating career. He was blacklisted and, you know, really called Reagan out on the carpet for some of his policies.
Blacklisted.
Oh, absolutely. Wow. You know, apparently got into it with Charlton Heston and stuff, so.
Wow.
Pretty interesting. So that's why we're out here, and that's why we're now sharing the same warm space here in Southern California.
It's warm in here quick, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
Two bodies. It warms up nice. We get the ceiling fan going.
Yeah, that helps. That helps. But but anyway, the other thing we did while we were here, after we had a wonderful lunch at the Blue Jam Cafe on Ventura Boulevard, which mm-hmm. we found is like a mile from our house, almost walking distance. We went to the house to, you know, check on our tenants and make sure everything's working fine there mm-hmm. and, you know, get an air conditioning contractor to take a look at the air conditioning unit, and found grapefruits this big on the tree.
Oh, man.
An entire lemon tree full of lemons. But we also have the coup de grace of this house is that the garage is no longer a garage. It is a recording studio. It was built as a recording studio. We have some video showing the interior of the new home which will be the new home of East West Audio Body Shop come this coming August.
So that's the
isolation booth there in the corner. Right now, the guy who's the family that's renting it right now is also a musician. That's a drum isolation booth, which, you know, we'll treat it. It'll be fine. We may actually just take it out and give us more room. And then there's just some shelves, which are obviously being used for shelves. That's going to be the wall probably where we'll have our set. And then there's a doorway that leads out to the garden. This is sort of like the garden apartments sort of thing. And then there's that wall there. And then you can see how he's got his there's air conditioning, which works really well.
Oh, that's one of those nice – that's one of those mini-split systems.
It's a ductless air conditioning system.
Nice.
And then over – if we.
Oh, that's it. That's the end of the clip.
That's the end of the clip?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's where it stopped.
Yeah, but there you can see that, you know, the desk is there. So we're going to have some fun configuring this studio and really customizing it to our own needs. But it's going to be, you know, a fully operational voiceover studio. We'll be able to do workshops in there. We have enough room to have a live audience for the show.
A small but crucial element to the show to have the live audience there.
Right. Plus, there's a lot of our people that like to be on the show who live, you know, in Valley Village, Studio City, Burbank. Mm-hmm. You know, they just have to drive up Burbank Boulevard, you know, and they'll be in the studio with us.
Exactly.
So this will be fabulous. So I'm really, really excited about it. And I'm more excited for my son, who now will have some great opportunities to do certain things. And of course, it doesn't hurt that I'm now 10 minutes from the center of the voiceover universe. And, you know, I can go to studios and go to classes and talk to casting directors and maybe actually, you know, get those kind of jobs that these people who keep coming on our show and
saying
drive up in limousines and stuff and see what happens with that.
Now you really got to step it up. You really got to step up your game now.
I actually do. You know, it's kind of tough to do from Buffalo, but, you know, it'll be more fun out here. So anyway, that's the news for this week, which I guess is actually pretty good news. Much better than the news coming out of Iraq and Syria. That's for darn sure.
This is much better news on this show.
Okay, what do we have in the question box this week?
Well, we got one that came in from Kevin Scollin, and it's about the Inbox Pro. And he said, "Hi, guys. I was watching EWABS episode 176, and you talked about the Inbox Mini. And you made it clear that it wasn't your favorite. What about the Inbox Pro? I use Pro Tools 10. I plug the mic right into the Inbox Pro, and I'm off and running. I always thought that adding more pieces of equipment to the audio chain, faders, preamps, and whatnot, tended to add noise. Do I leave well enough alone? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Or would you ditch the Inbox Pro and invest in another unit? Thanks, from Kevin."
Your department.
Okay. Well, all right. I'll take it. Well, I was just using this phrase today, and I use it all the time. But my phrase that pays, as I like to say, is if it sounds good, it is good. So if what you have is reliable, it's clean, the noise floor is low, you get enough gain, and it gives you the functions that you want and works, it doesn't slow you down and it's productive and all those things, there's no good reason to change it out. So I can't say that there's anything wrong with the Inbox Pro. Now, you didn't say which Inbox Pro. There's been a few generations. They all have the new Avid Inbox Pro is an entirely different beast from the previous one. The new one has this really elaborate console that you run on the desktop, and it's kind of like... it's kind of mind-numbingly complicated. So if you're using that one and you've got it down to the point where you can get everything else out that you want out of it, then, you know, more power to you. It's really, the Inbox Pro is really just a Scarlett 2i2 type thing on steroids. It's just got a lot more ins and outs than most voice actors would need. But just, what works.
Yeah, well, you know, with interfaces so inexpensive these days, and good ones, I mean, like the 2i2, which we like. And now I believe Focusrite has another model.
Well, they've got their Thunderbolt ones out.
The Thunderbolt ones out.
Yeah.
You know, does it make a huge difference? It's all about reliability more than anything else.
Yeah.
And, you know, if something's working, you know, it's fine. You know,
keep using it.
Yeah. It's not buying something more expensive that's going to get you more work.
No.
It's when it fails, when you don't get work. But those particular devices don't make a big difference with the quality of your audio unless there's something wrong with them.
Unless there's something, yeah, exactly. If there's a buzz or a whining sound or a hum or a hiss, that's a technical issue that needs to be resolved.
Or a new cable.
Or a new cable. Oh, yeah. Speaking of new cable.
Speaking of new cables.
I spent the better part of a few days troubleshooting my wife's Mac Pro. Internet was very spotty. And I ran diagnostics tests. I talked to the guys and all of our Mac friends and did everything they said to try. They said, it's probably a bad DNS server. It's this, it's that. We went through all that stuff. Installed a new installation of the Mac OS from scratch. The whole nine yards. What was it that ended up fixing her slow web browsing? Ethernet cable.
Who did that?
I swapped out a $10 Ethernet cable, and everything works beautifully now. So never, that's just a lesson for myself to remind myself, never overlook the simple, cheap, obvious things. And even though the diagnostics said it was fine, still, if you can swap out an Ethernet cable in a few minutes, why not? You know, it, even though it doesn't seem like it should be that, turns out it was.
And a high percentage of the time. Okay, another crazy question here. Taylor Stonely.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great name for someone in Colorado, having just been there. I love my VoiceAM demos.
Good.
Because I think they do a great job of presenting my different tracks separately. However, I get a lot of comments that I should instead have my demo consist of spliced together tracks totaling 60 to 90 seconds long.
Hmm.
How do you respond to those who think this way? Well, it's
this
one
is
of
for
those.
You, Dan.
Yeah, this is one of those things where it's what the end result is. There is no one particular answer to how long should a demo be. There are a couple of rules of demos. One being, of course, contrast, showing your range, things that, you know, what do you do best? Most importantly, in the first 5 seconds, and we've had lots of people on in the last few months coming on and saying the same thing, you have got to kick their butt right in the first 5 seconds and let them know that you know what you're doing. No hums, no buzzes. You know, don't worry about, you know, the technical issues shouldn't even be an issue. You should be able to present yourself as you exist, doing what you do best in the first 5 seconds, 10 seconds. So they're like, okay, this guy's got it. He may not have exactly what I'm looking for this particular production, but I'm going to put him in my favorites list. Somebody who actually knows what they're doing. How long is it? If you can get them past the first 10 seconds, you know, into the first couple of cuts, that's great. But no one's going to sit and listen to a demo for 60 to 90 seconds. You've got to get to the meat of what it is that that they're looking for, which is one of the reasons VoiceAM is so great, because if they're looking for something specific, mm-hmm. This is for an auto spot. They don't want to hear a spot for Blue Cross Blue Shield. They want to hear a spot for autos, and you know, and they're like, oh, auto spot.
Yeah, and if you don't have like a demo of nothing but auto spots, then now you have the ability to just find
exactly
that spot. Doesn't, well, he's saying, some people are saying, I want it to play all the way through one spot. Doesn't VoiceAM have that capability?
Well,
can't you just start the player?
If you start
play
the player,
all?
It just plays through your entire list of demos. So it's not they're individual cuts, but they're individual cuts put together as the way it was originally
right
pieced together by the producer of your demo.
Yeah, they can do it both ways. They can play the whole thing in sequence or separate it out, and the user has the choice.
Right. So do we have to charge Bob Merkel twice for that this week? Or
no,
we have we have a VoiceAM spot coming up too.
Well, you're a user. You know, it's like the whole your hair club for men thing. It's like, not only do I run the hair club, I'm
a client. Definitely a member. So
but you know, it's like, if you use the product, that's a big deal.
Absolutely. So those are the questions for this week. Gmail, ewabshop@gmail.com if you have a question for us. So actually, our favorite part of the show, aside from having the fabulous guests that we have on week in and week out on this show. So we'd like to answer your questions. Send them in, as obscure as they can be.
And if you're in the chat room tonight watching it live, start popping them in the chat room. If it's about anything, we've got a little extra time to share our knowledge with you tonight. We figured we'd keep a little more free flow. So we'd love to take whatever you guys, whatever thoughts, whatever discussions are going on, share it with us. We'll talk about it tonight.
All right. Well, we've got to take a little break here, and we've got a little bit more stuff to talk about, and we'll be right back here on East West Audio Body Shop. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
But we're going to talk about something first, and that's Voice Zamp.
Oh, very well done, my friend.
Why, thank you. Thank you very much. All righty. Voice Zamp. Voice Zamp. Because all of you should have Voice Zamp. Voice Zamp. It's a great way to present Voice Zamp. Voice Zamp. All of your demos. Voice Zamp. Voice Zamp. Zamp. This is something nobody else has. Individually, in order, it gives someone looking at your website and your demos a way to very quickly go through it and find the stuff that they want to find. Look it up. Somebody throw it in the chat room.
Okay, yeah. Here we go.
Voice Zamp. You have to do it. And your demo's right there. Voice Zamp. So you go over to voicezam.com. VoiceZam, it is the way to put your demos on your websites. But I have to announce that VoiceZam will give you a 45-day free trial. Who else gives you that? Can't beat it.
Hey guys, this is Tom, also known as the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants, and you want to fill your ear holes and your eye holes with Dan and George and the East West Audio Body Shop. Ah! Meow. Snails like it too.
Yeah, and don't forget that you can get that 45-day free trial to VoiceZam just by clicking on their logo located at the bottom of the eWebs website, which is down here somewhere, just underneath us. Just go down there, click on that. That will give you the 45-day free trial of VoiceZam. You do not want to miss it.
That's right. Well, I'm going to show you guys. I don't have a highlight cut together this week, but I do have a video that I don't think we shared yet. We didn't share the one from Focusrite. Speaking of Focusrite, share the one on their new
audio.
I'd
say since they're one of our favorites, let's throw it on.
Yeah, let's throw that on. So this is a little clip from the new products from Focusrite. These are their new Thunderbolt audio interfaces. Ooh. So when you're wanting to graduate from USB, this would be something you can try. So let's take a look at this.
Hey everybody, George Whittem reporting from Whittem's World, this time NAMM 2015 in Anaheim. And I never miss a trip to the Focusrite booth because there's always great stuff. And this year, they've got Thunderbolt. So here to tell us about it, we've got Michael over here. He seems to know what he's talking about. Michael?
People have been waiting for 3 years for us to come out with a Thunderbolt interface. And now, not only did we come out with one, we came out with four of them in total. And the great thing about these interfaces, aside from the feature set, is especially for the what we call the 2-pre and the 4-pre, is the aesthetic beauty of the product. Is that when you look at this, this is a piece for your tabletop that looks great. And as you can see, there's no screws in it whatsoever. They're visible. So it has a really nice audiophile class look to it. And these so let's talk about the feature set here. So with the mic freeze, we have the air emulation, which is a hardware emulation of our ISA technology. It's built in. These are under a millisecond of latency with the Thunderbolt technology. So if we look at the back here, you can see that we also have optical options. We have MIDI, and of course we have the Thunderbolt on the back there. And as an added little bonus, and this was something that this is one of the things we did for the show this year, is as a thank you to our customers of all of our products, including Sapphire, Scarlett, Forte. We are now, if you open up your Focusrite account, you will now see two plugins in your account that are AAX ready. We released the Red 2 and the Red 3 plugins free to all of our customers, and it's all of our past and our present and hopefully future customers. They'll get this in their account. We sell them separately for $300 for the plug-in bundle, but we're putting them, we're including them in with all of our interfaces now. So it's fantastic. A little thank you for all the years of support.
And so for those that are less familiar with the term of latency, because I have worked with a lot of people at home studios,
sure,
they're kind of new to it, what is the advantage of having something with such low latency? What does that help you with?
Well, to define latency, it's very simple. It's the delay between playing a note and hearing a note through your computer. As it goes through The audio I.O., it's converted, it's processed through the computer, and it comes back out. Now, when I started all those years ago, back in the 90s, we had latency that was like 40 milliseconds and things of that nature. And now it made it incredibly impossible to track, unless you happen to be a fan of slapback delay. But in our case now, what we have is under a millisecond latency. And so that means you could literally plug this in, bring it into your DAW, load up a plugin, and you can monitor the plugin through in real time.
So if you're running through a compressor or a tube amp emulator or whatever the heck it is, you can monitor that in your cans and hear it in real time, where you normally couldn't really pull that off.
Exactly, and that's the beauty of low latency, because it's 2015, and we can do more DSP on the computer now than we've ever been able to do before, especially with the Mac Pro being as fast as it is.
Yeah,
it almost negates the entire purpose of having DSP in the card itself.
So what's the price point? And when are they going to be available?
Well, price points are as follows. $499 for the 2-pre, $699 for the 4-pre, $999 for the 8-pre, and $1299 for the 8-pre-X. And the bigger ones will be shipping first in June, followed closely by the other two in about a month afterwards.
A lot of my clients have two I2s, because I can't. If there's any one that always floats to the top when someone says, I need my first 2i2.
Right.
That's what I've been doing. But when they're ready to graduate to something that's one step up, this would this be the
that
kind
would be
of
the way
next
go.
Logical step?
Because you get better performance than USB can provide. You get newer preamps, so you get the nice shiny new toy.
So you have a wire dynamic range also, because is this 192 or is this 96?
They can do up to 192, yes.
They are a model of the ISA preamps.
Right, that's the air technology.
Gotcha, okay.
And
so that's turned on from the computer.
Yes, it's turned on from the computer. There's a control panel on the computer that makes that happen.
Oh, okay, awesome, man. Well, thanks a lot. I've learned a lot more than I thought I would have learned, so I really appreciate it.
That's the problem. I start talking, I can't stop.
We can do a whole half hour on this one. Thanks a lot, buddy.
And thanks, Lee Penny, for doing all the videography on all the coverage from NAMM Show, man. We really appreciate your help. So just to summarize really quick, what's this Thunderbolt thing? So what Focusrite is doing is they're trying to keep on trend with the new technology. And in the world of Mac, the newest, fastest, greatest, expensivest thing is Thunderbolt. And why Thunderbolt's so cool is because it's extremely fast. So the time it takes for data to go from the computer out and back again, the round trip is like a millisecond. And what that lets you do is, if you are using more fancy audio software like Pro Tools, for example, you can load up your track with plugins and have a compressor and things. And when you're reading and running through all that stuff, you can actually monitor that in your headphones. Normally, you would need a Pro Tools HD rig, a $5,000 plus system to do that. Now you don't have to, because of this really low latency. Now, what's different between this and, say, the Apollo made by Universal Audio is, in the Apollo, the processing power to do all that stuff, the processing of all the the plugins, is literally inside the box. And in the Focusrite Claret stuff, it is not. The processing relies on your computer. So what it does is it lowers the price of their equipment. It makes it less expensive, and it makes it rely more on the computer. So it's just an interesting contrast. If you're running out of power, if USB is an issue for you, you've got too much on the USB bus on your computer and it's glitchy and it's not running smoothly, then maybe upgrading to the Thunderbolt stuff is the way to go.
Yeah. Interesting.
So we just got a question in from announcer before we get to go talk to Tom, who's waiting patiently over here. Announcer asks, George, I know you're not a huge fan of the MacBook Pro, but I want to replace...
You're not?
Well, recently I said something about MacBook Pros not being one of my favorite Macs, but if I want to replace the iMac in my studio and stay on a Mac, what's your preferred setup? The new iMac? The Mac Mini? Something else? I'm running Pro Tools. Well, we're using Mac Minis. We're both using Mac Minis. And if you're not having to do heavy-duty video lifting, which I pull off a major stunt every night we do this show by using a computer that any video producer would think I'm insane to use. I mean, it's like racing the Paris-Dakar race in a Volkswagen Bug. But, you know, I pull it off somehow. But if you have the means, obviously more powerful computers are not a bad thing. But the Mac Mini, I think it's just the Goldilocks computer. It has just enough performance. It's not obtrusive. They're reliable. Longevity-wise, I still have the original Mac Mini that I bought in 2006. It still works.
Yep. All my Macs still work.
They're really, really reliable. The iMac, my prejudice against iMac is my own personal experience, is that they tend to, the displays or something in the graphics area tends to fail on them. I've had it happen on a couple of them. Maybe it's just bad luck. Maybe they get too hot. But whatever it is, I've had them overheat and cause a lot of issues. So I've not been a big fan of iMac for that reason. MacBook Pro had a bad run in 2011 where they had some real problems. They had recalls and things. And I'm just of the mind that the more horsepower, graphics power, and everything you pack into a tinier space, the more stuff's going to go wrong. It's heat. It's just, there's stuff that's going to happen. The MacBook Air that Dan and I both like to use.
I love my Air.
It's not a Lamborghini. This is really more like a Subaru BRX, or what's that little tiny sports car they make? This is a sporty little computer. It's not a monster. It's not a ultra car, you know?
No.
But, I mean, it does everything VoiceOver needs. It will run Pro Tools without a hitch. It's got plenty of CPU power. You can load it with 8 gigs of RAM. But if you go to the Mac Mini, you can go up to 16 gigs of RAM, which I think the more RAM, the better. Right. You can fit it in there, put it in there.
And they all have SSDs in them, solid-state drives, which...
All of them you can get SSDs now. Yeah. Right. Even a Mac Mini, you can, if you get a Mac Mini, I say get the middle or the top one and get it with the SSD. The PCIe SSD technology that's in the Mac Pro, which is like a $3,000 computer.
Right.
They've trickled it down to the MacBook Airs, the Mac Minis. And that is what makes those computers feel so fast. They boot up in like 15 seconds.
15, like boom.
Yeah. It's maybe less.
You don't have time to like drink your coffee in the
morning. No, no. When you're used to waiting a minute, it's already ready to go.
Yeah.
So that's my opinion on that. MacBook Pros are awesome for photographer and video people who need that extra power and they have to have it. Then invest in the MacBook Pro.
Yeah. And that's going to do it for our stuff for tonight. But we got a great guest who was waiting patiently in the wings, who is graciously giving us of his time. Tom Pender will be joining us in just a minute or two and talk to us about all sorts of different types of broadcast narration and what you need to do to be good at that sort of thing. So stay tuned. We'll be back with Tom Pender right here on East West Audio Body Shop. Don't go away just yet.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
All right, and we're back here in East West Audio Body Shop, and we have to talk about somebody who is one of our favorite people of all time. Yeah, I was going to say he's the granddad of voiceover, but he would not like hearing. Well, maybe he would. I don't know. Harlan Hogan, our first sponsor here in East West Audio Body Shop. And
firstest and longest.
Longest. Since he's been here since day one, 177 episodes, just a total glutton for punishment, obviously. But you guys, go over to voiceoveressentials.com because that's Harlan's website, because he's got the greatest stuff on earth for voiceover. All you have to do is go there and you get stuff like the Harlan Hogan Signature Series headphones that I love and use here when I'm in the EWAB Studio West. because they're comfortable. I was actually listening to Radio Paradise on these the other day.
How does it sound?
Separates the frequencies.
It sounds really warm.
It sounds magnificent on these. Yeah. You keep saying you can't use these as you listen to Pink Floyd. Radio Paradise, that's a whole other discussion. But go on over there and get this kind of stuff. And if you scroll down the page on our home site.
Right here at the bottom.
Right there at the bottom. You'll see, aside from donating money to us, the portable thing there with Harlan in front of it, that will take you right to VoiceOver Essentials, depending on your bandwidth. And he's got, one of the great things is one of those things that will hold a 416.
That shock mount is the perfect shock mount for 416.
It is.
Or any small, compact small diaphragm or pencil mic.
Pencil mic, right. For instrument mics and things like that. But it's rugged, it's lightweight, and he has them. And it solves, how do I make this thing work? That's the way to do it. It suspends it perfectly. I mean, the 416 or any shotgun mic's a great mic for being in noisy places or slightly higher noise floor places.
Yeah, like my studio.
So that will help isolate it a lot better.
$29.95.
$29.95 for that?
Very reasonable.
My goodness. Mm-hmm. Just go on over there to voiceoveressentials.com and click on the link down there and go and buy one of these. Even if you don't have a 416, go and buy one of these, because I think that would probably help out Harlan a lot and, of course, us. But then you'd have one, and then you're going to want to buy a 416 or another shotgun mic.
That's the gateway drug to buying a shotgun mic.
It certainly is. So thank you very much, Harlan Hogan, for being the wonderful person that you are and sponsoring our show for 177 episodes. By now, you guys should know that he's there, but you still need to go over and shop. So anyway, thank you, Harlan.
Thank you, Harlan.
Okay.
And now, finally, our guest.
Yes. Joining us tonight, a guy who has a lot of experience in the stuff that we sort of don't talk a lot about, because we talk about a lot of other genres of material that we narrate. Joining us is Tom Pinto. Good evening and welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, hope paradise is great down there in you're in Santa Monica right now, right?
That's right.
We're on the beach here in Santa Monica.
Pretty close.
Yeah. It's where my wife and I got married on the Beltway there on Ocean Avenue.
Oh, we're a slingshot away from the beach.
No, thanks for having me. And I'd be happy to do a Harlan Hogan spot for the porta booth here, but I can't reach it, Dan. So,
okay. We'll save it for next week.
Next week. That's fine.
Right. Yeah. No, the porta booth. I keep forgetting to mention the porta booth because I brought mine with me this week.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. The wife's like, "You're not taking that out, are you?"
Oh, it's like, okay to have it.
Yeah.
Don't
I'm going to leave it in the trunk. Anyway, but welcome to the show, Tom. Tell us a little bit about your background and where it is that you're getting this expertise and what you're going to talk to us about tonight.
Well, my career has evolved. I mean, I broke into the business when I was signed by Donna Lee Davies, who had her own little shop. Who was with Donna Lee Davies at the time? Bill Ratner, Neil Ross, Robert David Hall, who you might recognize from CSI, very small shop. I mean, I wanted to do cartoons. That's what I wanted to do. So when I started out, I was doing a couple cartoons, then suddenly people are saying, oh, you might be good for younger promos. So you start doing more promo stuff. Oh, gee, the commercial stuff here. And then you get older and they say, oh, you sound like an announcer. You better go do, so I started focusing on news promos, where I've done very well for many moons. But about 20 years ago, it just got to the point with cable that a lot of these cable networks were looking for, narrators for their programs. And I never thought of myself as a good narrator, because most of the narration in the industrial world was very dense technical stuff. And I just felt like I wasn't, give that to somebody else who can do the heavy lifting. But I love telling stories. And Secret World Of, which was on TLC for a few years. I did that in 1995. And then I did 5 years of Tales of the Gun on History Channel. And I knew nothing about guns, but they were very happy about that because they didn't want somebody who was a member of NRA. And I've just continually worked in that genre over the years. And it's just, and the reason why I'm happy to be here is because also you had Mary Lou Wisner last week or a couple weeks ago. I just feel that this is an area that we don't get a lot of direction when it's time to audition for it. I mean, they may say, here's the series, dramatic, make it conversational, or looking for a micro type. I mean, they don't give anything any more specific than that. Right. But we're not talking about 10 seconds of copy. We're talking about sustaining a character for an entire hour. So that's why in the past 5 years, I probably have done more teaching in that arena to kind of get people to look more specifically and dig a little deeper when they're auditioning for these pieces.
Yeah. And it's a different process. You know, I audition for these things all the time. I've done a few pilots and stuff. It's a very unique type of thing. It's very, very different from commercial copy. It's a matter of being yourself. I mean, and being as natural and conversational as possible, or, you know, and I've watched a lot of different stuff, maybe even just even a little drier than yourself sometimes, I guess.
Well, you know what? Reed Shelley, not to name drop, but Reed was a director of development at GRB Entertainment that did World's Greatest Stunts and Stunt Masters, and Sex Drove Me to the ER. That's one of their current shows.
But I've watched that.
They've been around for years. And what Reed used to say is, you know, the better the pictures, the less I need from the narrator. And it is kind of a sliding scale. If you've got lousy shots, or if you've got mostly stills that they got to do dissolves and things like that, you're probably going to have to nurture the story a little bit more. Or if you don't have a lot of experts that are going to fill in the gaps, the narrator has to say more. And so, but otherwise, if you've got beautiful, like for example, when I do a show on TLC called American Supernatural, these recreations are gorgeous and they've got great experts and everything else. So I'm only talking like 10 to 15 seconds at a time. So I go in, leave my mark, set up the interviewer, go out, come back in. But it's not about plowing forward and driving the story. It's more about honoring the pictures.
Right.
So that's kind of been my MO for quite some time. And that's what I preach all the time.
Yeah. Well, let's show a little bit of your work here, and then people can get an idea of and they'll go, oh, that's the guy that does that.
Ah.
So, George, why don't you roll some of this stuff?
You got it. I can do it without causing a train wreck here.
Every moment, Eric Welch is relentlessly defending his family from the constant onslaught of online threats. This vigilant watchdog of PC security is even now backing up his family's important photos, folders, and financial documents online. How does he do this? With Norton 360. Automated all-in-one security that protects you online when you buy, bank, browse, or nap. Keep up the good fight, Eric. We're proud of you.
There you go.
All right. That's the kind of stuff you do. And that's really, is that a TV commercial?
Well, actually it is for Norton antivirus, but that's okay. Whoever pulled it down, I just, you know, figured if you want to play it, you can play.
That's right. We'll get the check will be in the mail.
They're all important.
Yeah.
They're all important. what's interesting is that a lot of these, in this day and age of social media, a lot of what I do is in minute and 2 minute form as promotion. I mean, if you go to YouTube and just say outrageous 911, you'll hear me for about two and a half minutes. But more importantly, you'll see one of the ridiculous scenarios in that particular show.
Right.
So, I mean, it's, you know, access to this stuff is all over the place.
Yeah.
I just feel as though that if people, when they think, God, I would love to do narration. Well, I say start with what you like. For example, if you're a gearhead, if you're good getting under the hood of a car and you know 8 cylinders from 12 cylinders and what dual carburetors mean versus just having one, then you're probably going to be great at those kinds of shows. But if not, just turn over the audition and don't bother with it, because you won't be able to sustain a character like that for an hour. Now, if you are fascinated with science or nature, I mean, truly fascinated with science or nature. Mm. Maybe you have a degree in it. Maybe you have done work, you know, in labs. Then you might be good on something like a show that I did that had to do with monster frogs, where, you know, they got into the biology of all of it. So I start with organic casting. I tell people in terms of what would you be best at narrating, it starts with what you're passionate about. So some people say, well, there's a lot of stuff on TV about death and destruction and discovery ID, and I don't really. I said, stop right away. Then you're not going to be good at it. You're not going to gravitate toward it.
Hmm.
Because if you can't stand it for 10 seconds, you're certainly not going to be able to sustain it for a whole hour.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk a little bit about documentaries here. Let's first play a little bit of your demo from documentary work, because that's a whole different thing that everybody wants to learn how to do.
Part of Tanzanite's intrigue is its rarity. There's only one place in the world the stone has ever been found, and that's in the rugged landscape of Eastern Africa, deep underground in the Merelani Hills of northern Tanzania. Because of its limited supply, tanzanite is considered to be 1,000 times rarer than diamonds.
In October of 2004, Michael Arciola's unit shipped out to Iraq. When his friend Oscar was hit and wounded, Michael took his place as a gunner, riding in a Humvee, patrolling the streets of Ramadi, an area notorious for snipers.
I remember I've actually heard that one too. So that's the different pieces of drama. There's every one of these things is completely different. I mean, there's not really a formula so much to documentary as there is to what the subject matter is what you're saying,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah. You know, and if I always say, what can I learn about this story? If I decide, what am I going to learn about telling the story, then I think my interest is going to come through. But like the two clips that you played, I can tell you that the first one, you may think this is a joke, but it's not. The first one was a series of 10 videos that aired on jewelry television. No commercial whatsoever, no plug for jewelry television. They just wanted to educate people about different kinds of gems. So on a night when they're selling tanzanite, they would play this 45-minute show about tanzanite. Now, the other one was from Smithsonian Channel. And Smithsonian, in my opinion, I'm a little biased, and not just because they hire me all the time, but I just find them, they do quality.
Absolutely.
And that whole thing about you don't have to push a lot because the pictures are emotive. I mean, this is about Arlington, and it's very, very respectful about, you know, people who have been buried there. But there's also some great layers to that story.
When you're doing content that you love, you want to talk about it. I mean, you want to push it.
Yes.
Because, I mean,
yes,
there's a reason why you're good at it, because you love it. As you just to reinforce your point.
Yeah. Well, my father, you know, my father was a paratrooper, you know, and in World War II. So that whole thing, as I'm patriotic from that angle. So I think that probably gave me a little extra juice, you know, when I auditioned for that piece.
All right. So how does somebody get into documentary work or something, you know, something a little different than perhaps they've been doing? Maybe they're auditioning for commercial after commercial, mm-hmm, after commercial. And, you know, and this is a whole new, it's not new. I mean, documentary's been around for a long time, but because of the plethora of channels that you're talking about, you know, there's so much documentary or reality shows, docu-reality, mm-hmm, shows that are out there. And I know from experience, they're constantly firing off pilots for new ones and, you know, some strange situation. It's like, let's make 26 episodes of this type of genre.
You know, you're right, George. I mean, one can make a decent living just even doing pilots when they're trying to sell it, especially in L.A., which you're going to find out now that you're coming out.
So here, I'm hoping, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, and I want to say this too, and I hope this phrase is okay. I was told this is what people like to hear, to the flyover state folks who watch, and they're out there, you know, trying to work and develop, develop their careers in different areas. There are a lot of production companies in the middle of the country. For example, there's an outfit called Great Divide Pictures in Colorado. And while he does hire talent from larger agencies, he has hired people who submitted directly to him. Because they went on his site, saw the type of material, saw that he does a lot of Civil War recreation kind of documentaries. People sent him a link to their demos. And this one guy, you know, did get a job from it. And that's a way to start, because if you get a couple of those under your belt, then you can go to somebody like Atlas Talent, who's in L.A. and New York, or Paradigm, or Bookwalt. you know, who have, you know, access to both coasts. And a lot of the stuff is produced out of the East Coast. So you get a couple of those under your belt. Then you got something to say, hi, I've done this. I've done it on a smaller level. And now I think I'm capable of moving forward. And then to kind of back into this show here. I mean, you know, Dan, you're a talent out of your home. George, you help people build their stuff out of their home. Narrators, primetime narration narrators, are primarily people working out of their home studios. They're not showing up to the POP or LA Studios or Margarita Mix. They're usually doing it out of their home studios wherever they live.
No, that's, and that's good to know, especially if they're in LA.
It's encouraging. Yes, it is encouraging.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're trying to teach people, is that, you know, you need to be able to do this out of your personal studio, and mm-hmm. it's got to sound right, and it's not supposed to be enhanced. It's supposed to be clean and simple, so the guy engineering it is going to have no problems with it.
Dan, thank you for are you clairvoyant?
So
because
I'm
that is one of the
same page.
That is one of the key problems that I get, is that people begin to play with their software, and they process it, and they compress it, and they EQ it heavily, and then they do the noise reduction because they're afraid that there's, you know, a leaf blower going on in the background. And then what happens is they're submitting a sterile take. Now, I understand in the audiobook world, to prove to somebody that you got a quiet studio because you're doing this stuff on your own, I totally get that, because I know that Lisa Bainey, who does a lot of stuff with Macmillan Publishing, that's, you know, that's prerequisite. But I think to hear a natural breath at a transition for a producer tells the producer that you're not overly editing this. You can sustain the read for a long period of time, and it just sounds more natural. And I'm not talking about, you know, big Brenda Vaccaro kind of breaths that she used to take years ago when she was doing those TV ads and everybody, you know, would tease her about it. But don't overprocess this stuff. Don't over edit it, because you know what? These good experienced people, they can hear the edits. They just, you know, not everybody's as good of an editor as they think they are.
Boy, I always tell my clients when they send me stuff that I can tell they've edited, I said, wouldn't it have been better to just read it right? Especially if it's a 30-second or 1 minute. Rehearse it and read it down a few times. You're a much better voice actor than you are an editor. I guarantee it. Unless you came from editing and now you're trying to get to be a voice actor.
So. No, that's great advice. I mean, I it's amazing. You work with people, and because we've got the technology, you know, people will start out on a 60-second spot. I know we're talking narration here, but let's say even if it's a narrative piece, they'll be doing the cold open, and they get they get two sentences into it, and they don't like what they did, and they go pick up, and I'm saying, wait a minute, if you're not at least 3/4 of the way through the section that you're reading, there's no pick up. You go back to the top.
Right.
Because then it's developing the mentality, and that's a problem with some narrators, of they know that they can go back and edit, so therefore they use it as a crutch, and they're listening to themselves, and they're looking over their shoulders, and they're not in the moment. As David Lyerly out of New York, who's a great coach, likes to say, you know, be present. Be present. Don't be thinking, oh, I can just pick up this stuff and cut it later. Yes, we can if it's a great take. But that shouldn't be the exception and not the rule, I guess.
Yeah. So now, do you teach people how to do this stuff, or is it something that people just naturally, you know, there's some people that just have it?
Okay. First and foremost, I think, because I know you do obviously a lot of industrial narration, people have got to be able to put a few sentences together without tripping over their tongue. So yes, you have to be a little more fluent and a little more confident in your vocal work, but it's acting. It's good storytelling. It's getting people to see what is the essence of this paragraph about, and not just too many people go, well, when I narrate, I was taught to go, in the beginning, man decided that he wanted to be good, you know, and they do that cadence because they figure, well, it gives me a chance to stretch things out, it gives me a chance to read ahead, it gives the audience a chance to catch up. But man, that's, you know, so not everything is going to be staccato, you know, so it should be, the phrasing should be appropriate to the story.
Right. So it's not a matter of you can't cold read this stuff. You've got to know the copy. You've got to mark it. You've got to understand what's there first.
I will tell you that the usual, once you book the job, so yay, you've booked the job. You know, they send you the file. I mean, they send you, you know, the file with the script. So maybe we're looking at 60, 65 pages. I mean, obviously double spaced and all that, video on the left, audio on the right. But then many times they'll send a QuickTime file or a link so you can follow along with the bouncing ball. And what's great about that is you make your notes. You make your notes about, music is changing here. Or, wait a minute, an expert talks in between and he says something very poignant. So when I come back in, I need to acknowledge the fact that that was something that was poignant, or it could be a contradiction. So I tell people, try not to read in a vacuum. Don't just keep moving forward. VO number 12, VO number 13, VO number 14. It's what's around you that, dare I say, is more important than the narrator. That same buddy of mine who said, the better the pictures, the less the narrator, he co-taught a class with me several years ago, and he says, you know what my favorite documentaries are? The ones where I don't need this guy. You know, and it's true. Many times they've got documentaries where there's an on-camera person who kind of threads it, but there's not a lot of voiceover involved.
Right.
But that isn't always the case. So then we have to come in and clean things up.
And sometimes that's a good job. Clean up aisle five.
I have a question about the processing. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll come back with Tom Pinto and talk a little bit more about this, and of course answer some of our wonderful chat room questions that we've been getting in here as well. But right now, first we need to talk about something going on in Atlanta, VO Atlanta, which is coming up in March. I believe it's March. What's the date on those?
It starts March 12th.
March 12th. I was about to say March 12th. But anyway, right now you can save $50 if you're thinking about going to VO Atlanta. And I know George had a great time there last year. I wish I could go this year, but I can't. But there's going to be some great stuff going on there anyway. Like, I would make a big difference. You can save $50 if they use EWABS, E-W-A-B-S, you should all know that by now, as a promo code on their general registration. But there's some breaking news about that. Well, it's broken already, but our good friend Joe Cipriano is going to be at VoiceOver Atlanta and doing live demos of promos. And we all know how good he is at doing promo. He's like the man.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, he's going to show you how he does that. And it's fun to watch him work because he's a funny guy. He's very, very professional, knows how to work with the directors and the producers and give them what they need week in and week out, day after day. Like, constantly, they just lock him in his studio in his back of his house, and he's just there. Anyway, a few fortunate people will receive one-on-one coaching with Joe.
Sweet.
That ought to be that alone would be worth it just to show up in Atlanta to do that.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is go over to voatlanta.me to register over there. So, and you had a great time there last year.
I did. I'm looking forward to going back again. I'll be doing a presentation this year on my flavor of basically what are the most important elements of a home studio. You know, just a condensing microphone. It down to the basics of what's really important to make the home studio become productive and sound professional without blowing a huge budget on stuff you don't need.
Absolutely. So go on over to VoiceOver Atlanta.
That's right. I also have a spot real quick that I'm going to run for VS Studio Tech, and then we'll be right back, and we'll have more
EWABS.
Tom Pinto.
Yeah, Tom Pinto.
And I just have to find the clip that I had queued up. There it is.
You're listening to East West Audio Body Shop.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple. Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his health.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Dad?
Yeah, honey?
When you watch East West Audio Body Shop, why do you keep hitting your forehead?
And why do you keep yelling WTF?
And what does WTF even mean?
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Yeah, that's what it means.
I think you made that up.
Girls, just go do your homework. Right now I'm watching George and Dan on EWABS.
Okay.
One of my favorites from one of my new clients, actually.
Outstanding.
It's so fun to have a family business. It's he and his daughter doing that. Yeah, we were talking about processing. Nice. So that you really prefer, obviously, that people send in their files to an engineer with the bare minimum of processing. So let me talk about that first, and then we'll talk about audition processes. So for sending in a file for a job, this is going to go into the video project, whatever. At least, I tell my clients to at least use a high-pass filter. What do you think about that? Is that prudent in most cases?
I have, and again, I'm not super technical. What I do is I ask, for example, I've been doing promos for CBS News out of New York since 2006, and they would basically say, based on my room, the way it was set up, they would go, okay, go to your pro. I used to run Pro Tools. You know, you go, okay, go here, tweak this, tweak, that's what we want. So there was a certain amount of processing that the mixers wanted from me to make their life easy, but they didn't want me to overly crunch it. But I do think a high pass filter, you know, even if it's on a, like a little Mackie board, you know, something that's good. I also think it depends on the genre. So
sure.
If my agents, a lot of the jobs that I get, promo jobs, will be jobs that we will send it in, and 2 hours later they'll say, hi, you booked it, they used it.
Okay? That's what you want.
All right. So in those cases, I will say certain stuff that's got to have a little more attack, news, whatever, or certain dramatic things, I do cook it a little bit, but I don't cook it as much as some guys. Anything that is commercial where they say we're looking for a Jeff Bridges type, no, I'm not going to compress it. If it's muddy because my mic technique sucked that day or whatever like that, you know, I might sharpen it just EQ it just a bit. But I don't overcook it.
Must be a plane flying over his head, his house right now. And
Tom, you're starting to drop out. So, and this is unusual for Zoom, but maybe I'm thinking disconnect, leave the meeting, and come back.
It
in.
Is.
There, right. Now he's back.
It caught up all of a sudden, but
it caught up. I could see the sign for a second.
I don't know if restarting it will help, but now you're back. Maybe we'll let it go.
Bandwidth's a little light. There
we'll take our chances.
Yeah.
So it's very much a dependent on the genre, of course. So I tell people, like, if you're doing stuff for radio imaging, well, that's pretty heavy handed on the process.
CBS.
Obviously. For auditions, though, isn't it better to do a bit more? Like I tell my clients, and again, I want you to tell me whether I'm on base or off base, but I tell my clients that that whoever's casting wants to kind of get an idea what this would have sounded like if it was really on the air. So it kind of punched up a bit, limited, you know, maybe brightened up a bit on the EQ. So is that generally a good
idea? A small amount of limiting, I think, is important because it does eliminate. You know, some people, if they have a very conversational spot and there's highs and there's lows, a little bit of limiting is going to eliminate those sections that drop out a little bit if somebody kind of throws a word away, and also make it a little less fatiguing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to do a spot where a guy was he was going to be jumping. He was an aging rock star, and he was going to be jumping into a crowd, into the mosh pit. And you know, there's an example where you know we've got to limit it so the peaks are not fatiguing. So again, I just think it depends on the project. But you know, when you've got people across the country who have maybe more expensive microphones, have quieter rooms, I mean, you've got to at least, it has to be somewhat polished audio-wise, but I also, please, people, don't be cutting out the breaths unless you know how to cut out breaths. And be careful on that noise reduction, that, you know, so the end of the words, they almost truncate,
yep.
You know?
Noise reduction
It's you know what? It's distracting. Mm-hmm. But I understand some people are nervous because, oh my God, I live in this apartment, and you know the bus went by, and I'm afraid they heard it. So
we tell people if your noise floor on average is below minus 50 dB, just your room tone, that you're probably in pretty good shape, right?
Yeah.
I mean, do you have is that something you ever pay attention to, the noise floor?
Now it's really quiet there.
No. Mine's a room within a room. I mean, meaning basically it is a room that was built where the third car garage is, you know, doubly insulated, you know, and a channel against the wall there. The RLX was put up by the guy who was, when I moved to, I don't want to get into long conversations, get people, bore people, but when I moved to Northern California.
That's my job. I'm the bored people guy.
Anyhow, I needed a place to record because we hadn't bought our home, and I didn't think the closet was going to work. And so a friend of a friend says, hey, this guy, he's got a studio. Well, sure enough, he was a musician. He also did a little voiceover from time to time, but he had an isolated booth. And so I said, Bruce, can you build me that? He goes, oh, yeah. And when he came in with the RLX, you know, he you know, positions the patterns. He also left some space, so I have a little bit of this if I'm there, if I want it for the particular project, which is important for looping. I do a lot of work matching voices for movie trailers. If Liam Neeson's unavailable, okay? And so Liam Neeson didn't do the line in here. You know, he did it when he was standing out here, you know? So
yeah.
You got to have like a Foley room. So I've got it set up where the channel is there where I can do, you know, I could do an audio book or I could do a promo or I can have it a little more live if I need
to. Do you move things around the room or do you just move the position of the microphone to
move the position of the microphone because of the way the channels are? I'm okay on that.
Very cool.
I'm lucky. I'm lucky that this worked out pretty well. And I also pay my gardener a little extra. And I got him the business of the people next door. And on the other side, they come on Friday morning at 7 a.m. So they're gone by 8. So if I have a narration on the East Coast, I don't have to fight that.
That
smart.
Gold right there.
Well, thank you. It's one of the, Dan's one of the few smart things I've done, you know. And, you know, it's just, you know, we do what we do. I mean, Bo Weaver was telling me, he said, you know, he had a great setup in his place in Toluca Lake. But he said, the one day he was trying to do a promo on all, they hear this, one wild bird that just cut right through. And he said, I just had to stop. I had to wait. So.
Well, we've got a pile of questions from a pile of people.
Okay, let's get to that. I'm sorry.
Well, no, absolutely not. No, I mean.
Our audience eats this stuff up.
I mean, we've got lots of questions, but we want to hear what our audience wants to know because that's why they're here. So we'll start off with a great guy, J.S. Gilbert, and he's asked a bunch of questions here. I'll use one of his questions.
Yeah, we'll pepper him.
All right, let's see. Ask Tom what's the biggest changes he's had to face over the past 5 to 7 years or so since pay-to-play networks and mass migration of people from podiatry into voiceover.
Sounds like J.S. Okay. Hi.
You're there.
Am I still here?
You're there.
It's a little glitchy, but you're catching up.
Sorry about that, guys.
Wi-Fi.
I find that because my work is primarily union, it hasn't affected me as much as some of the people that were doing, I'm going to say, non-union work in San Francisco, because what happened is a lot of the union work went away. And so there's an agent there that has a union and a non-union department that gets people pretty good money. But then the pay to play does undercut some people. So, yeah, I mean, I think in the long run, JS, yes, we have been affected by that. I mean, you know, when you suddenly, you know, see something from a major advertiser and you find out somebody posts something on one of those voiceover sites and says, oh, yeah, I did this job for $175 for the Oscars. It's a Mercedes tag. And I'm thinking, what? You're undercutting the industry. And it's not about the union people. It's even the non-union people by this Wild West bidding war. So I think the fact that they can pit us against each other, JS, when I say us, anybody who's on the pay to play sites, I think it affects, union talent or even non-union talent, but I know experienced talent like yourself. Yeah. You do have to work harder.
All right. Amy Fisher, who's also monitoring our chat room tonight, asks, who's your favorite female in promo?
Promo or narrator?
Promo, specifically, she asked.
Okay. I'm going to tell you that I'm a little biased to my good friend, Carrie Tombazian, who did The View for many years. I also think Kay Bass is fabulous. I think Paula Tiso is killer. I think Virginia Hamilton is, she just works a ton. I mean, that's a range.
There's several new names to me in that list, actually.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's funny is that as a teacher, you have to kind of stay with that. So I'll ask my agent John Watson. I'll say, John, who's hot? And he'll go, Virginia Hamilton. She's working all the time. Yes, John does sound like Georgie Jessel.
Yeah, I was going to say it sounds a little bit like Georgie Jessel.
No, but those are some of my favorite females. And if I left one out, they're going to be really ticked off. Oh, you know what? I've got to give Randy Thomas her props too. What's the matter with me? I'm sorry.
Good, a name we know.
yeah,
she was on a few months ago. She was just wonderful.
Oh, she was great.
Yes. Trey Mosley asks: is doing promo your favorite genre, and what other types of voiceover do you enjoy doing? If you have a favorite, or is it all just wonderful every time you're happy to be working? You close the door behind you and get in front of the mic.
I tell people, especially when I'm teaching narration, prime time narration, as I like to call it, meaning the broadcast stuff, that's my candy store. I don't do many cartoons anymore. Occasionally, Andre Romano will throw me a bone, and I'll drive down to L.A. and I'll do a guest shot on a cartoon, or I'll do something for Nick or Cartoon Network. But I enjoy the storytelling of narration because it's in my age bracket. I feel like I learned something, but promo is great. When, in my opinion, promo is great, not just when you're working, but promo is great when you work with someone who allows you to put your stamp on it and not just do a cookie cutter kind of thing. So, and I've done a lot of news promos over the years, and that's what I got to be known for. Ironically, when I was younger, I was tonight on Who's the Boss. I mean, that was me for a long time. You know, at that time, I never thought I'd be saying tonight on the CBS Evening News. You know, but that's what the universe gave me, so that's where I went.
And you take it. All right, Reen Vogel asks, how much documentary work is there for, again, more feminist type of stuff? How much work is there for women versus men, and is there a lot of it found outside of LA?
Okay. I don't know if she's in the middle of America, but I'll tell you, man, East Coast has so much. They are so much more connected than LA on the documentary stuff. Now, LA's catching up a little bit, I'm going to say, I mean, they've never not had stuff, but I mean, the quantity that I get out of New York, out of the New York office. But in terms of women, I just want to address this woman's, what was her name?
Reem Vogel.
Okay. That about a year and a half ago, I auditioned for what I thought was going to be a fascinating documentary about the State Department. And it was all about following Hillary Clinton and everything and all the fires that she was putting out. And I thought, fuck, I was great.
Not network, don't worry.
That's right. I was great on this. And then I saw it on the air. And I heard it on the air. And it was a woman. And she did a great job. You know, it was a woman that had an edge to it. And I think it was a celeb, but it's like I couldn't put my finger. One of my favorite female narrators, authoritative narrators, is Kathleen Garrett, who people might remember her as she was one of Murphy Brown's secretaries for many years. He was the one that always gave her a load of shit. Theater actress who got into voiceover, and now she does a great job narrating.
All right. Devox asks, how do you work a script, such as how far ahead are your eyes from your mouth? not exactly sure, et cetera.
I need to prep, Devox. I am not a great cold reader. I need to prep. I need to kind of see it to the picture, or if it's an audition, I need to envision what I think. Here's the thing that people should know. When you audition, you may have the cold open or the tease, which is 25 to 30 seconds, and then they may give you, a page of body copy. But where does the story go from there? I tell people, you have to envision, where's this going to go at the end? What kind of journey is going to be there? Because you want to try to encapsulate that right at the beginning. You know, tell people what they're going to see. You know, give them a sense, a tease of what's going on. And when I work the script, I try to make sure that I don't overwork it vocally, because then you get caught in vocal patterns that you can't break.
Right. It's going to disrupt the flow of the entire production.
Yeah. Synapses going to the brain. If you say something the same way three times and you say, well, I'm going to do a fourth take and it's going to be better, it's probably going to be not much better or different unless you walk away from it for like an hour. You know, go feed the dog, go water the roses, and then come back and do it again from a fresh perspective. But I always try to say, how can I do this, make it interesting, and also make it me, but within the specs.
Thanks, man. That's a great
excellent advice there.
This one came from Shelley. Does he use different mics for different reads? So do you use a mic for a promo and one for trailer? Do you switch it up? Or is really for you, is it just how you address the mic and where you place it?
My friend Bo Weaver would probably tell me that I should. I do have a Neumann, and I don't use it very often because I don't have great mic technique, and I have explosive P's. So the 416 has been my friend for a long time. I mean, you know, even when I didn't have a studio, you know, you walk into a recording studio, they go, okay, you're the guy, okay, you're on the 416. You're the woman, you're on the Neumann. So the Neumann's a wonderful, sweet mic. I did, the last time I used it was probably about a year ago, where somebody made a request, and then before that I used it on an audiobook because they didn't, you know, that was just their preference.
It's funny because I would have thought that the 416 was the mic that needed more technique because it has such a small sweet spot. So that's interesting.
George, go figure. I just always found that I was doing a lot of that.
Right.
You know, a windscreen helps. And of course, here's the other reason, getting back to what you were saying about processing. On explosive promos, you know, that's where a lot of those consonants can come out kind of like that. But if you cook it a little bit, as you know, that kind of stuff is going to go away. So that's probably why I use the 416, because a lot of the promos I do are more attack mode as opposed to laid back.
Well, I think it's funny that you brought up Bo, because I've seen Bo actually do this, and he knows how to work that 416 like you do, and he knows how by placement, by how he's aiming the mic, he knows how to get the different sounds out of the mic.
He does.
And so, you know, it's like if they say, we need you to be on a Neumann, Bo will just say, just a minute. And he'll cut the mic. And he'll, you know, check his email. And he'll come back and he'll go, okay, how's that?
Yeah, maybe he doesn't want people to know that.
Yo, but you know what?
It doesn't matter.
The thing about Bo is you need somebody in your life who will tell you the truth.
Oh, and man,
Bo,
that's for sure.
Is never afraid to walk up and say, you know, pal, I think whatever it is, whether we're talking about technical or it was like union politics or something like that. And I've just always admired that about him,
yeah.
That he speaks his mind. But yes, any, there, like you said on the microphone, he could articulate why. He won't say, well, I'm here on the mic because it always sounds better. Right. He could probably give you the technical reason. So,
he's been on the show a few times. He's probably due back for a 2015 visit.
I think so.
Yeah. Been on a few times.
Well, Bo was the one who said, why are you still running Pro Tools? And I go, because that's what I learned on.
Right.
You know, back at the turn of the millennium. And he goes, for crying out loud, would you get on Twisted Wave? You're not mixing demos anymore and all that. And I must have been, I'm very happy on the Twisted Wave. So
that's good.
There you go.
All right. We're running a little short on time here tonight, but we still got a couple more questions. JS, never a shortage of questions or things to say for that matter. What was your most fun voiceover gig ever?
Oh.
That's probably a good one for prepping the guests ahead of time. Right?
No. It's much better off the cuff. It's more natural that way.
I would say that I did a session with Ken Mars, Howie Morris, and Sam McMurray. And I was just the announcer. Now, Sam McMurray, obviously, on the Tracy Ullman show, fabulous, you know, brilliant guy, the late Ken Mars now, who was in
the producers. So many of the,
yeah, exactly. You yeah. know, and then Howie Morris on Sid Caesar's Show of Shows, who became a really good animation director. I mean, he directed a lot of cartoons, and so basically, the three of them were doing three old Jewish guys who had been in show business talking about this and that, and whatever I did as the announcer had to do about kind of having a hard time moving into the future, you know.
Kvetching.
So it's I was like sort kvetching. Of the
they call it kvetching,
I was the
right?
laconic
kvetching. Kvetching. That's yeah. right, kvetching.
But anyway, that was so much fun for me because I sat back there and would just laugh, you know, waiting to do my thing. So I think for me that I remember that. But the other probably general thing was when Susan Blue would have me come in to do a guest shot on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I had a couple of semi-recurring characters. And the, you know, the camaraderie between Townsend Coleman and Rob Paulson and Cam Clark and, you know, Pat Fraley. It was a party. It was always a lot of fun, and I was very, you know, lucky that Susan would occasionally say, "Hey, can you do a pirate?" "Yeah, I can do a pirate. That's not real good. Don't worry about it. You know, just come in and do it."
That's relationships for you, folks.
Yeah. There's probably nothing more fun than working with other great professionals. I mean, a lot of us are just stuck in our closets in our small booths by ourselves, and we don't get to work with other people.
And you know what? You know what, Dan? Well, I'm going to be thrilled for you because you're going to be able to do both now that you're going to be down there. Because trust me, sometimes my agents will have a gig for me and they'll say, well, we can do an ISDN. And I'll look at my calendar and I say, no, I could drive down. I got to see my mom anyway. You see people, you walk in the studio. I mean, it's just, it's good. You know, plus you take a shower, you know, sorry. oh, I'm sorry.
No, I know how that works.
But yeah, I know. Their home studio doesn't.
Well, that's the thing. Is like, sorry, I mean, normally we do the show. I'm usually here by myself. I only have to dress from here up.
There you go.
Normally,
he is wearing pants.
And normally, you know, I can be a mess over here. But you know, it's a good thing to have a guest here physically, so I have to clean up my office.
Kerry Tombazian says
you cleaned up in here.
That's the best as it gets, man.
Kerry Tombazian says that she says every Friday. She, even if it's not, she's doing it Skype or whatever, she just puts makeup on before she goes into the booth. Instead of casual Friday, it's I'm going to pretend that I'm out in the real world kind of Friday. So, Kerry, I hope I'm not speaking out. Well, no, she said that to a bunch of people, so that's not too.
It's in the public domain, private. Right? Well, yeah. Tom, it has been fabulous having you on with us tonight. You've got some, aside from a great set of chops, but you really gave us some great information, and I know our audience is going, we got to write that down. That's important stuff, and I can't wait to have you on again because I'm sure there's a lot more that we can cover.
I appreciate it, and I appreciate the opportunity to kind of talk about this a little bit, and you've got my. You probably have my email address somewhere. If somebody, has a question or something, I can't answer, five page questions about careers. But if somebody wasn't able to get in on something here and they have a question, I'd be happy to do that. That's part of the responsibility, so I think.
Thank you.
Absolutely. No, sure. Well, I look forward to meeting you in the studio one of these days.
And you have a good move to Sherman Oaks and good Mexican food, Casa Vega, Ventura Boulevard.
I know where it is.
Yes. Yeah, you do know Ventura. I've great guys.
Been wandering down there. Tom, thanks for being with us tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Have a good night.
All righty.
Bye bye.
Okay, so we've got to clean things up, and and then I got to run because I got to deal with the family back in Sherman Oaks at the Hampton Inn there. So I things sometimes get a little funky over there. But anyway. We'll be right back and clean this all up for a nice, tiny, tight little bow in just a minute. So don't go anywhere just quite yet.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
And now, back to East West Audio Body Shop, where every week, it's Apollo 13.
Well, not quite, actually. Aside from, somewhat of a sketchy internet connection with Tom, great information there. I mean, you can't beat that stuff. That's why we're here, folks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that we continue to do this and bring these wonderful people to all of you so you can hear exactly what it's like, when you're going to get here and be in the big studios with people or doing it at home. That's how the really successful people do it.
Just sit back and relax. It's time for some announcements.
I guess it's time for some announcements then. All righty. Well, we've got a few announcements. First off, who are our donors of the week? I'm sure we probably have a few of those. Like, of course, thank Eric Aragone, who every Sunday. Oh, there's an email from. He's done it again.
He's not a subscriber. He just sends in the money, folks. Amazing. We just got one came in from Kentswald Studios and Greg Tremblay Voiceovers.
Wow.
He said, great show tonight, despite the glitchy. Well, even with the glitchy.
You still got the
maybe he's
details.
Trying to help us get better bandwidth. But anyway, thanks a lot for the donation.
We appreciate it.
Really,
that.
Really appreciate it. Jeffrey Scott Chambers, boy, he's been a regular name that's popped up on here a lot. Very kind. Eric Aragone. Going through my emails, folks. Deb Irwin. Mike Martin. Mwah. Yes. Who else? Martha Kahn. And in the last week, we also had Leah Frederick.
That's a fresh name.
Leah Frederick. And Jeffrey Scott. So, yeah, that comes from last week. So, yeah, thank you. That's quite a great list of contributions. Thank you, guys.
We really appreciate it. Yeah. And if you want to donate, just right on our page here, just right above George's head, although maybe it's over my head. Let's see. It looks like we're here. Tonight it's over my head. It says, donate now, and And that's, or it just says donate right underneath our logo there. And it's a big help because we got to pay for the bandwidth and we got to do all these things. And it's not just us messing around in George's back porch.
And Dan's moving and we're going to try to make a set. So we've been saving up and, you know, we've got some money to spend thanks to you guys. And we can really put together a nice space to work and take it up a notch.
Yes. Yes. Thanks. Resources are important. Coming up, what do we got coming up? Well, let's see. Oh, J. Michael Collins is going to join us. Is he going to be sitting in the back seat with us like he was in Anaheim?
Voiceovers and cars getting coffee.
That's right. Great picture there. Yeah. But he'll be joining us.
He's casting now.
Oh, is he doing casting?
Says he's casting now. And so
I'll talk about pay to plays if you must. Make the most of it.
If he must make the most of it, and he knows how to make the most of it.
Right. Is he going to be coming to us from Luxembourg, though?
Oh, I don't know.
I guess we'll find out.
That would be awesome.
Yes. And then, looking ahead a couple of weeks, March 9th, we're going to be doing our international roundtable with people from all four corners of the globe. If you can have a corner in a sphere, you know, I just basically passed math 10, so we'll figure what works best with that. But that's going to be an earlier show. That's going to be noon Pacific on March 9th. So I want all of you watching the show right now, write that down, put it in your calendars. It's going to be at noon Pacific, which is 3 Eastern time, which I think is like 2 in the morning in New Zealand or something like that.
Right.
And who's ever on from New Zealand, and we may actually have somebody from New Zealand.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Actually, it's about that time. It's about 7 or 8 in the morning.
A little early. Yeah, a little early. They might be groggy.
That's right. So make sure you're there for that. That ought to be a lot of fun.
If you are doing audiobooks, narratorhelper.com. No bones about it. That's my wife, Amy, and I've trained her myself. So if you think that I know what I'm doing, she's pretty smart. She knows how to take good information and implement it. And also, she's really good at the process. So if you like somebody that has a good process, communicates well, is reliable, and will meet your deadline with you, narratorhelper.com for proofing, editing, and mastering on your long-form audio, especially your audiobooks.
That's right. And show logs. If you need any information that you've missed on the show, or you heard it and you forgot it and you want to go back and hear it again or see it again, go to the show logs right at the top of the page here. You can access the show logs from the top of our page, right where it says show logs, and every little detail of every last show we've ever done is right there.
It's right up there at the top.
Right there at the top of the page.
And it's searchable. So if you wanted to search a topic like microphones or promo or documentaries or whatever, type it in there. And you'll find whatever shows had that information, and it's time indexed. You can click on the link, and it goes right to that point in the show.
All right. Excellent. Let's see. What else? YouTube channel. If you missed the show, you won't be hearing me say this until you actually watch it on YouTube. And then you go, well, he did mention it. But you can watch all 177 episodes of EWABS. You can have an EWABS marathon during February.
For the entire month.
Entire month. You won't have to eat
24 hours a day.
You can watch all 170 episodes of that on YouTube. And, of course, the podcast, which they can get on Stitcher and Podbean and iTunes, of all places. What a wonderful place to get a podcast. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at EWABS_show. Mm-hmm. And, of course, subscribe and like our videos. And we have just been told, one of my favorite women in the world, and I mean the world, because she's like on the other side of the globe in New Zealand, Susanna Kenton, great gal. She will be with us for the March 9th international show.
Both gotten to work with her.
Yeah.
She's lucky enough.
Great gal. She just has this charisma about her, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And of course, we need to thank our sponsors, Harlan Hogan, VoiceOver Extra, Edge Studio.
Hey, if you didn't happen to notice
that it's there.
Yeah.
And VoiceZam and VoiceOver Atlanta for providing uninterrupted live stream and bandwidth.
Mostly uninterrupted.
We do this show live.
It really is, man. Warts and all.
Absolutely. So thanks to all of them. Thanks to my wife tonight for putting up with me, dumping them in Hollywood, the corner of Hollywood and Sunset and Vine, going, I got to go do a show. And then making my way across Los Angeles just before rush hour.
Where did they go after you dumped them off at the Records?
I'll find out when I get home.
Did they hop on a cab?
They took Uber.
Yes, Uber. We were saying that earlier. Uber is a great service. I know that they've had a hard time in the media lately, I think, for various reasons, but it's always worked out. Uber in L.A. is awesome.
Yeah.
Great service.
Now I've heard Lyft has lifted the pink mustache.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's
so now
good.
I can have a pink mustache and there's no complication.
Right. No trademark problems.
Yes. Also, thank Amy for putting up with having an extra soul in here tonight, along with all the other things she has to do. And Catherine Curden for our producer, getting us fabulous guests like Tom Pinto.
Lots of them.
And she's doing a great job with that. Anthony Gettig and Shelley Avellino for helping us out in the chat room, doing a marvelous job with
that. They're tag teaming it.
Yes. And asking their own questions, of course, which is also important because they ask great questions. Jack DeGolia for doing the show notes, which we mentioned earlier. Best pieces of information you can get. Jack, we thank you for doing that every week. Tim McKean for doing EWAB's Essentials, of which the pile is probably growing, of great little short little things that you can watch. And Lee Penny for just being Lee Penny, which means all sorts of things.
All sorts of stuff that Lee does to help us.
Whew. All right.
That was a mouthful.
Yes. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. And, as usual, it is a pleasure to be here with you in the same studio.
Yes, indeed, man.
I can't wait till we get to do this full time. Another 6 months and probably another 2 feet of snow to go before we get a chance to do that. Anyway, we're gonna sign off for now. We'll be on for a little bit in the post show, but thanks for coming tonight and listening to Tom Pinto and all the stuff that we threw at you that you're all going. Anyway, I'm Dan Leonard, usually in the East,
and I'm George Whittam here in the West,
and together we are East West Audio Body Shop. In perfect sync, as it always is every week. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Take care.
Aloha.